out. My goodness. So Ricky Renteria had some thoughts on something where people were just jumping down his throat the moment yesterday's lineup was revealed. White Sox have some issues, though, and baseball has some issues with some injuries to pitchers early on. Another thing that we probably should have expected, and we talked about it and did expect some of it. All that coming up. Baseball talk next on The Score.
You're listening to 670 The Score, broadcasting live from The Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
The final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando, and they're ready to get back on the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, the top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is giving all users a special odds boost for the first 3 days of the season. Bet $20 to win $100 on any team of your choosing. Taking advantage of these slam dunk offers is easy. All you have to do is sign up and navigate to the promotions tab within the app. Don't stress if you weren't able to get your bets in before tip-off, because DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook has you covered with live betting on all games. And if basketball isn't your game, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on all sports from MMA to baseball. DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is U.S.-based, so it's safe, secure, and reliable, and it's easy to deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app and use code CHICAGO when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can get a special odds boost. Bet $20 to win $100 on a team of your choosing. That's code CHICAGO, and boost your odds to $20 to win $100. Only at DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Other teams and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
We'll be right back with more Dan Bernstein in 60 seconds on The Score.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Stay informed on the latest news, political and election coverage, and business and financial updates with Radio.com. On your phone, smart speakers, and more. Radio.com gives you live local news, keeping you updated on the latest guidelines and reopening plans in your community. Stay up to date on what's going on around the country and the latest financial news from national news leaders like CNN, Fox News, Bloomberg, and more. Listen to the most trusted local and national news on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Player, he's been an above average offensive player both of his years in the majors before this one. Left field. Jimenez back at the track and the wall, and it's gone for a grand slam for Jake Cave, and Eloy Jimenez is down at the wall.
Hopefully Eloy just got the wind knocked out of him. He was concentrating on making the catch. He didn't know where the wall was, and we've seen this before from him. So this looks like a fastball or forward home run replay. It's an early Twins lead.
Watch Eloy going into the wall. Let's see where the, he just ran straight into the wall. Looked like arm first. So it's 4-0 Minnesota. Eloy out there in left field walking off the contact against the wall. It looks like he's going to stay in the ballgame.
Not for long. Eloy Jimenez then came out of the ballgame with what they're saying is lightheadedness, and he's going to be reevaluated today. That was NBC Sports Chicago with Jason Benetti and Steve Stone on the call. Things not so good for the White Sox pitching and or defense. That looked like a continuation of all of Ronaldo Lopez's issues that he said he had cured because he was in a better mental state, but now he's got physical problems. And he said that he had an issue with his shoulder, and he ended up exiting the game with shoulder stiffness. And Gio Gonzalez came in and wasn't much better when he came in. Boy, across the league, we're seeing pitchers have all kinds of problems. Corey Kluber also had stiffness in his arm. Shohei Ohtani got jacked around. It was only throwing at about 93 miles an hour. Justin Verlander out. And then there's conflicting reports in Houston that say Justin Verlander may be out for the entire season. Dusty Baker says, no, that's not true. Verlander says it's not true. But most of the injury reporting that's come from the beat level there in Houston has been pretty good over time from the outset. So we're already seeing pitchers running in to early issues with injuries, and yet another thing that we saw coming. And if you're just joining us, there are now, according to reports, 14 members of the Miami Marlins have tested positive for COVID, with more tests in the offing. And they have canceled their home opener. They have not traveled back from Philadelphia. So they're staying in quarantine in the hotel in Philadelphia. The Yankees and Phillies were supposed to play in Philadelphia tonight. That game has also been canceled. And then we will await to see what the results are of the remaining Marlins and then the Phillies themselves as baseball tries to figure out how to move forward with this. But boy, there are angry White Sox fans, not just with the outcomes, but also mad at Ricky Renteria for batting Nicky Delmonico second, and specifically for having Yoan Moncada out of the lineup on a Sunday. You know, Yasmani Grandal was out of the lineup at one point. And there are a lot of fans saying, look, there's only 60 games. Every one has to be taken seriously. Every one in the lineup has to be optimized. And look, like Theo Epstein said, we're all kind of flying blind here. We're going against our organizational philosophies on some things here, doing things that we've always preached against doing. And as much as I've always said that over 162, the lineup only makes a difference of one win, I don't know what's true in a season like this. But it forced Rick Renteria to have to explain why he rested Moncada on Sunday.
As you guys all know, originally the way it was set up, it was going to be Hill the second day. We had them all set up. Then we continued to have a lineup set up for Maeda. The change occurred once we validated who was pitching. In terms of Moncada, today was the day that seemed to be more prudent to give him a breath with his arm. Body, everything else, he's swinging the bat very well, as everybody can see. He's doing good, but it was more now the idea of giving him from throwing at all today. Just give him a break. Now, is he available for an emergency or something? We'll talk it through during the game if need be. But right now we're trying to keep him from throwing so he can come back and now play some more games consecutively as we move forward on that. He's been a trooper because we've pretty much, you know, he showed up. We started activating him and throwing, all monitored, obviously, on a limited basis. But it's normal. We've wrapped him up pretty quickly. So he, like I said, he's been a trooper. He's allowed us to use him as much as we can, you know, and having conversations. We just want to have a day of rest, just a complete day of rest. If we can do it, we're going to try and manage it that way. I mean, we still have, you know, 57 games after this. So it's best to try to do that right now, give it a breath. Again, we have another day off on Thursday, which will be a nice break for him as well. And we'll continue to monitor his progression. And hopefully we get to a point where we don't have to really concern ourselves too much about it. But it is normal soreness.
Okay. It's just a way of dealing with however we're defining some kind of new normal. And as we did with David Ross and his pitchers, let's get some more sound from the weekend as we digested those three games. We hope we have more baseball than just those three games, but a hell of a season, right? Wasn't it? 2-1 and 1-2, and that's where we stand. Lucas Giolito didn't have it. He just was not able to spot his fastball, and it looked like he, much like Yu Darvish, was kind of fighting himself a little bit. And Renteria was asked about Giolito's command issues.
He really does have a command of what he's doing. His feel for what his body, how he's approaching the attack from a physical standpoint, from a mechanical standpoint, is much more mature. I know that in today's game, he wasn't able to rein it in, but, you know, he was trying to command his fastball, was getting away from him. I know he was using his changeup at times to try to find his arm slot back again. And, you know, sometimes you can use breaking balls in order to do that as well, but he was trying to find it. He didn't have a feel for it, and I'm sure that his next outing will be much better.
Daryl Van Scowen.
Hey, Ricky, if Lucas gets that double play in the first inning, that might limit the damage a little bit. How did you see that from the dugout? Did Larry just kind of take his eye off it, or what was going on there?
No, that was the one he came across the middle, coming hard from the second base side, coming toward the shortstop side. Kind of came hard. He had it in his hand, bobbled it. I don't know if I think it was Polanco that had hit that ground ball. And he was ranging from the second base side, coming hard over across. I would hope that he would, if with a good exchange, he might have been able to turn it. I don't know that he could have. But there were a lot of plays that there was a bad hop, even on a cruise ball that got over Leroy's head. There was another play defensively that took Leroy to the middle of the diamond to the shortstop side, and Timmy tried to get back to second base to at least get the force play, and we weren't able to do that. But yeah, there were a couple plays that could have helped him out. I still think he felt like he could have thrown the ball a little better, and I think he could have.
Who's Leroy? Is that Leury? It's got to be. I'm thinking, wait, Leroy, did I miss a guy? They call somebody up from Nashville or wherever all the MLB ready players are just kind of hanging out. And by the way, John Heyman is among those reporting that the Marlins are looking at what they're referring to as MLB quality or MLB ready players to help bolster their roster right now because they're concerned about fielding a representative team. Well, yeah, duh. Well, Lucas Giolito also talked after the game about his opening day struggles.
Stuff felt really good. I mean, the velocity and everything was a couple ticks higher than I've seen throughout this season, I guess you could say, or lack thereof. So the ball was definitely coming out, but going way too quick. Pretty much the story of the night was no fastball command, and so I got hurt. It took me until that I had one good inning. That's when I made a nice adjustment, kind of slowed things down. But, you know, I just didn't make the adjustment when I really needed to in the first inning. And, you know, big first inning, you know, it's not something that I want to happen. I've got to, you know, do a better job setting the tone and I'm a clean first. I'm treating it exactly the same. You know, I still take the ball every 5 days. So there's nothing different as far as the schedule. It's not like they're asking us to have a 4-man rotation or anything like that. So to me, it's exactly the same. My routine's the same. Day one, day two, day three, day four, pitch day. You know, tonight, unfortunate, you know, really didn't get the job done. But, you know, I was pleased with how the ball was coming out of my hand. It's just got to make it go where I want. You know, pretty much just chalk it up to that and back to my routine tomorrow.
All right, go out there and get him. Well, how about the good news? Dallas Keuchel looked like Dallas Keuchel. You got that sort of Mark Burley thing going on. Just getting the ball, throwing the ball, working quickly, doesn't have to blow anybody away, just continues to get things in a way that upsets timing. And Ricky Renteria liked what he saw.
Threw very, very well. You know, was very, very efficient. It was the first time we've gotten him up six times. And so he was able to do and keep us in the game. Obviously, he set the tone by being able to, you know, quiet their bats a little bit and gave us a chance to do some scoring. Did a very nice job. I mean, you all see the specialty of his game, which is command the zone, not afraid, works, you know, with a good tempo and kept everybody on their feet. And, you know, he's a pro. He did a very, very nice job.
James Hegan.
Thinking before the game, you talked about needing to get McCann in, and obviously he had a strong offensive year for you last year. How important is it for you while you're weighing how to, you know, shake out playing time to make sure that he stays in rhythm, and how will you manage it kind of this season, you know, given that he showed what he can do today?
Well, again, you know, it just kind of works out where you're trying to do the right thing. It's a night day. We're just starting off the season. My mind is where I'm going to be able to, how many games I'll be able to run Yaz out there consecutively. Not too many clubs have, two all-stars behind the plate. And I think that the luxury is I don't question what Max's capabilities are. And it has nothing to do with what Yaz is capable of doing. They're both unique in and of themselves. And so they both bring qualities. So I have a luxury of having two guys that can do several things. And I think anybody in the big leagues will want to have that. I happen to have two of the best ones. And so, you know, Yazzie's come in to be a big part of our organization, to be, part of that leading, you know, spot behind the plate. And he's going to do a great job. And today and yesterday was just a situation of night and day. And it played itself out and it went well.
But it's night and day. The season just started. You don't have to do this daytime catcher or day game after a night game. I understand if you're 100 games in and it's the middle of August and it's 90 degrees, but you're just starting the season and every game means 2.7 compared to a regular season. So I do think it's reasonable. I don't want to get silly with the lineup stuff, but I think it's reasonable for fans to question that and certainly question why Nicky Delmonico is hitting second in a lineup. Let's hear from Dallas Keuchel as well, who knows his game and he knows what he's trying to do and sounds pleased that he was actually able to do it.
The age-old tale of baseball is how well you can pitch, and not a lot of guys can pitch anymore, so that's why you're adding on 30 minutes to the game instead of subtracting 30 minutes from the average time frame. And I just keep it simple. I mean, I draw knowledge from some of the older guys before me, and the fact that they're able to pitch and locate will never end in baseball. It's just the oohs and ahs of spin rate and velocity is out of control right now, but which makes me more comfortable in my position than I've ever been before.
But you can't be afraid, right? I mean, a lot of people would be afraid to go out there with that.
The term afraid doesn't really bode well, just because I know that kids who possess quality of pitching are looking to me as well. So I can't be afraid to do something that I want to pass on to the next generation of player. But I know Greg Maddux said he was afraid of getting hit all the time, and he turned out well. But afraid is something that doesn't really bode well with me, and I think of more of just competition just gets the best.
It's funny how he has to decry the oohs and ahs of spin rate and velocity. Well, look at somebody on the other side of town like Hendricks. Hendricks is very similar to Dallas Keuchel in that he doesn't have the same margin for error, but he goes into pitch lab and figures out his curveball, and that's spin rate. And just to dismiss all these things, like, well, I'm evidence that you don't need any of that newfangled crap and that phony baloney fancy book learning. Just pitch. You don't have to say that the way that anybody else goes about it or any other team, or it's just measuring things. That's all. Don't be afraid of things being measured. The one thing that Dallas Keuchel also understands is that all the starters on this team are going to have the luxury of an offense that is capable of putting up the proverbial crooked numbers.
The power is just off the charts. I mean, I don't think I've seen this much power from a lineup that I've been on ever. And I know the Twins set the record for most home runs in a single season last year, but we rival them. I think we're just a lot younger. But if we can have these young guys kind of keep garnering that knowledge of the game, get a little bit better game in, game out, just know what they did well that game, know what they didn't do well, know what they need to work on, is going to push some of these guys to the next level. And I've, since I've joined the team, talked about the young guys taking that next step after they've already taken a step is going to be the biggest key for us this year, is just them taking another step forward to star status or superstar status.
That is Dallas Keuchel, knowing that he's got a powerful offense behind him. It would be nice to see some of that power when you're not trailing 10-0 or 11-1 or whatever it might be. But the White Sox will remain exciting, depending on how much baseball ends up getting played. We've got the latest on what's happening in MLB, some of these decisions that are being made. Apparently, it was the Marlins players' call to play, even though they probably should not have played yesterday. They are not going to play tonight. Their home opener against Baltimore has been canceled. The game in Philadelphia with the Phillies against the Yankees has been canceled. The Marlins are in their hotel in Philadelphia of quarantine of an unknown length of time, an undetermined length of time. You'd think that the whole team would have to be 2 weeks or so with 14 positive tests. But the next 24 to 48 hours, the next round of tests that comes back, and even after that, depending on incubation period, of finding out what the spread has been, not just in that building or on that field, but elsewhere and beyond, is going to matter as baseball figures out how it can move forward. When we saw an entirely easily anticipated outbreak on a team that we knew was fairly likely to happen, especially knowing what we know about the facts and the virus and the geography, and the lack of governmental response, the testing lags, everything that's going on. This was right in front of us. We knew this was going to happen. We're going to talk about what to do, what's right, and some more of what we saw over the weekend. That's coming your way next on The Score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. The Jets had one of the best safeties in the game. He was still ascending, a young player that had plenty of great football left. And when he started chirping about more money and his coach then demanding a trade, they had to ship him out. So give the Jets and Joe Douglas major credit for squeezing two number ones out of the Seahawks for Jamal Adams. The Jets had a player who was openly feuding with them. They got back the ransom that's usually for a pass rusher, a corner, or a left tackle. Adams is a great safety, but he's also just a safety, and it's hard to dominate a game at that position. The Seahawks want to turn back the clock to the Legion of Boom era. They had lots of success with Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Adams' talent is off the charts. But he's immature and gave up a lot to do it. This is Damon Amendolara.
Think you know the Home Depot? It's not just for flooring and lights for your bedroom. It's everything else for your bedroom. Mattresses you can't wait to sleep on. Nightstands you can't stand to be without. All with great savings, free and flexible delivery, and easy online returns. You know the Home Depot. And now you know there are even more ways to explore decor at HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, offer valid through August 5th. Limitations apply.
This is the sound of a Blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a Blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
New York Times best-selling author Brené Brown has a brand new podcast, Unlocking Us, about the emotions and experiences that bring meaning and purpose to our lives.
Together, we can explore ideas, stories, experiences, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human.
Brené Brown's Unlocking Us. Listen on radio.com by searching Unlocking on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And I really cannot wait to have these conversations with you.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Former Bears head coach Dick Geron.
That whole team was an outstanding team. We really had the ability, I thought, to go the whole way. And I think if Jimmy hadn't got hurt in our playoff game, I think we could have done that. Both sides of the ball. Big, strong, fast, tough. But the defense was could just swallow you up. We had a big, strong, and tough defensive line. And Brian in the middle could just cover so much ground. It was shocking, I think, to our opponents, even our very fast opponents. I remember playing Atlanta with Michael Vick, and Brian could shadow him. And that's saying a lot. That's really saying a lot, because Michael could fly. But that was a tremendous team.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Cubs Radio play-by-play legend Pat Hughes.
Win or lose, there is always attention. There is always a great media presence. And there are always fans. It's never easy, but it's never boring. Not one bit. I tell people also, you have to learn to operate independently from the hysteria that is Cubs baseball. I think a lot of fans out there, Dan, when the Cubs win two or three in a row, it's, we're going all the way. Yep. And those same fans, when the team loses three or four in a row, well, wait till next year. And you just can't live that way if you are part of what we are, which is broadcasting and covering the team pitch by pitch, day by day, season by season.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Pat Hughes here, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to Ron Coomer and me on 670 The Score, your official destination to hear all 60 Cubs games of this unprecedented 2020 season.
It's got a chance! It's a grand slam! And the Cubs have won the ballgame!
Baseball's back, and so are the Cubs. Hear all 60 games on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
More Dan Bernstein on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
Does someone in your family have a drug or alcohol problem? Can you see what it's doing to you? If you're hurting and confused about drug or alcohol abuse and its effects on your family, let Families Anonymous help you. Families Anonymous offers direct help to family and friends of addicts through personal sharing. Meetings are free, not associated with any religion, and totally anonymous. For the meeting nearest you or more information, call 800-736-9805 or go to familiesanonymous.org.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There was a lot to overcome today, a lot of stuff going on. You know, again, getting behind by four quickly, losing your starter, getting down four quickly. It could have been one of those days that just could have been very easy to feel bad for yourself and start over. So it's a big win from that standpoint.
I'm so proud of the way that we approached it the day today, because it was a weird day. A lot going on in the morning, and this this group of guys show character. You know, like we are gonna pick up everybody else back, and we're gonna continue to do this throughout the whole year. But I just wanna emphasize on the team effort today. So pitchers, bullpen, position players, everybody did their part to win the game, and we're not done yet.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly and shortstop Miguel Rojas discussing their 11-6 win over the Phillies on Sunday, thanks to Fox Sports Florida for the sound. And it's a game that probably should not have been played. At some point, someone in charge might step in and say, because of the testing lag, because of the number of known tests, we always assume there's more based on the sampling that we see, that usually a couple will return several more than after the fact. And with everybody in that clubhouse together and around each other in the dugouts, I didn't watch the game, so I don't know how seriously they were taking distancing. We've seen some very different things. We've seen some players masked, some unmasked, some trying to stay away from each other, some still high-fiving and elbow bumping and standing shoulder to shoulder. So there's no standard of behavior. Every team is trying to take this as seriously as possible, and being healthy is going to be a primary competitive advantage. We've heard that discussed. The latest, Baseball Now officially is out with a statement discussing the decisions that they have made to bang a couple of games tonight due to the COVID outbreak. And it's the right thing to do. And now they've just got to be very careful based on what Rob Manfred said back in early July about how seriously they take a competitive balance and competitive fairness when a team isn't able to field a representative team or isn't able to, you know, show up for games, what that's actually going to do to any integrity of their season. This is these are interesting times for all the wrong reasons. So we're getting to see how it looks now on Marquee Network as well and what this is going to be. I'm getting used to some things. I'm getting used to how to figure out how many outs there are. There are just little dots underneath the home plate score bug there. And a dark dot is one out and two dark dots are two outs. But I'll get used to it. I don't mind something that's a little bit new and trying to adjust. I do want Len and JD to be in a polo shirt, a golf shirt, or something other than how uncomfortable they may seem to be. And I wasn't behind the scenes, and I haven't asked. I don't know how actually uncomfortable they were, but it's 100 degrees, man. And you're sitting in that booth with your shirt buttoned all the way up and a tie on. I don't need that. That made me feel awkward as a viewer. This is from Stonecutter, who says, I didn't have access to Marquee until Saturday, so I don't know if this was brought up last week. I apologize, but there's something about the camera angles that feels off. Too many close-ups, like a Fox playoff game. Beyond this, nearly every shot, except for the traditional center field cam, seems like the angle is too low or too high. Maybe the camera wells were adjusted for distancing, but every time they show a runner on second or third, I felt like I was standing below the field looking up. Anytime they show the batter straight onto the box, it seemed like it was coming from higher than normal. My assumption is a lot of this is being done to avoid showing empty seats as much as possible. But to that end, why? Everyone knows what's going on, and the weird angles are far more distracting than the empty seats. And in any case, I watch 40 or 50 games a year where the Cubs are on the road playing in stadiums that are effectively empty, so who cares? Also, I know I'm a dope, but the way the outs are tracked isn't obvious at all. Yeah, I had to look for some stuff, and there are different cameras. They have these, like, dirt cams that are giving some very low-angle looks, but are only just sort of novelties at the moment. We are seeing how they use the fluid dynamic weather stuff to show the angles of how the wind is blowing there. So they're all getting used to it, too, and it's going to take some time. We'll all figure it out, and they'll settle on what they know works. Here is the official statement from MLB regarding tonight. The headline just says, tonight's Marlins, Orioles, and Phillies, Yankees games postponed. And that's the first line. It said, while Major League Baseball conducts additional COVID-19 testing, the members of the Marlins traveling party are self-quarantining in place while awaiting the outcome of the additional results. Major League Baseball has been coordinating with the Major League Baseball Players Association, the Marlins, the Orioles, the Marlins weekend opponent, the Phillies, and club medical staffs, and will continue to provide updates as appropriate. Okay, well, now it's get these tests back. And I don't know how much they're testing at their labs in Utah and at Rutgers might be stressing out the overall if they're jumping in front of any line. They say that they're not. They say they're paying for all this themselves. But any time it takes 24 to 48 to get results, you know that already it has spread elsewhere. It's just a matter of tracing it, of knowing who has been where. And if you want to switch out that whole visiting clubhouse staff and do that for 2 weeks, and then monitor those people. So, okay, this is you had to have known. You had to have known. You knew this was going to happen. You knew that there was going. This was absolutely inevitable. Just as we know exactly what's going to happen if people are forced back to school, we know it, and we can't pretend we don't know it. I just saw there's an Alabama Baptist church that had three revival meetings last week. Their entire congregation of 40 people, including all their pastors, has now tested positive for COVID. And they said they would do it again. Okay. It's an interesting call. And tend to wonder why you would do it again if everybody now is sick with a virus that we don't know what it does. You know, there is also these issues of even upon return, whether or not lung effects and heart effects, myocarditis, etc., damage to the actual organs may change some of the risks that are involved. And players have to be really careful of making sure they get echocardiograms and get everything checked out and get all the imaging done. They can say, yeah, I'm asymptomatic and I felt fine and I'm over it. But we don't know. We don't know. I mean, it's one thing to say I had mild symptoms. It was like the sniffles and I'll probably be fine. We're going to look back, even if there is a vaccine of some efficacy. We're going to look back maybe 10, 20 years from now and have people saying, well, oh yeah, by the way, this is something that I didn't know was going to happen to me later in life because I have this new coronavirus that burned its way around the world. A lot of people asking, what is the point of the dirt cam? I don't know. I don't know. It's just something that they did. That they put in there for, it's trial and error. They'll figure, their directors will figure it out. They're learning and they'll streamline it. They'll get some sense of what looks good. I didn't see the close up issue as much as I do with Fox playoff games where it's only just intense close ups and you can see every chicken pox scar and every pore on every face. And I'd rather see how the defense is positioned. I didn't notice that as much, but Every viewer will get a little better sense of what's happening. You know what I saw? I saw Chris Bryant look awful. He was fine in the field, made a couple of really nice plays. He is just missing hittable pitches. He is off. And now they're going to Cincinnati, which means if you've been listening to The Score, you know when Chris Bryant used to join us regularly, he always looked forward to going to Cincinnati because there is a warm brownie with ice cream that he likes. It's his favorite thing on the road. So maybe we need to call the hotel and get some brownies sent his way. Or maybe with the infant in the house, the sleep isn't as good. Who knows what it is? Or it's just baseball. He finally got a hit that was a blooper into left center field. And sometimes that happens. You feel a little good about yourself and you get moving. I hope he's looking up Baseball Reference and realizing he has a 900 career OPS because he had a couple of decent at-bats where he saw a lot of pitches. But there are fastballs that he generally barrels that he just wasn't. And I have to say that when you have Rizzo homering Oppo, that's a good sign. And our guy Ian, always out there looking for barrels. That's what he's talking about, finding barrels. And Ian Happ is finding those as well. So there's a lot of good coming from the Cubs right now. Victor Caratini continues to have his head on the ball. So I did see that, but I am concerned early and with Bryant's body language that usually a couple games in that you don't see him reacting the way he's reacting. And if you've been watching Bryant a long time, you know exactly what that reaction is. That's, he thought he was going to kill a pitch that he rolled his hands over on and pulled foul, or he hit, fouled the right side, upper tank. That's that look of knowing that he is missing his pitch. And you can see the frustration right now. Also, every team that started at home that is now hitting the road, if you follow like we do, we get these breakdowns of all the local news reporting across the country for all these teams and these prep packages that we get sent out to prepare our shows in the morning. And every local beat writer of the team that's traveling wrote the same story today. They all wrote, well, now comes the first challenge of traveling for this team amid COVID, the first test of these protocols, the first risks, the first concerns. Every market with a team that started at home and is now traveling had a reporter write exactly the same story. And it's not like it's invalid because they are all dealing with it. And there is no centralized, absolute plan for how to do it. And we have two games canceled tonight because of the Marlins situation that we will continue to keep you updated on as events warrant. The Midday Midway is coming up next. We have the potential freedom of a member of the Manson family. We also have something mysterious and definitely not good, and something that if you get this in the mail, what you should and should not do, and then a potential solution somewhere else to the thing that's not good. I'll explain. That's all coming up in the Midday Midway on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM Traffic and Weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station. Summer is here, and sometimes so are summer storms. Remember, Chicago's weather station is News Radio 105.9 FM. WBBM's meteorologists keep you prepared. Plus, live interactive radar at WBBMNewsRadio.com.
Lawrence Holmes here. Check out my podcast, LoHo Daily. I record every day before or after the show. And here's what it is. It's me doing stuff that I can't get to on the show. Sports stuff, geek stuff, whatever's on my mind that day. I get a long form way to do it.
And I'm glad that the Bears are out here trying to make these kickers earn their jobs.
Check out LoHo Daily. Download the latest episode now from the radio.com app or online at 670thescore.com.
You're listening to The Dan Bernstein Show, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Does someone in your family have a drug or alcohol problem? Can you see what it's doing to you? If you're hurting and confused about drug or alcohol abuse and its effects on your family, let Families Anonymous help you. Families Anonymous offers direct help to family and friends of addicts through personal sharing. Meetings are free, not associated with any religion, and totally anonymous. For the meeting nearest you or more information, call 800-736-9805 or go to familiesanonymous.org.
Ride, run, or walk in the American Diabetes Association's Chicagoland Tour de Cure on Sunday, August 2nd, virtually. Choose how you want to participate. Create a team, recruit your friends, and help raise funds and awareness for those living with diabetes in Illinois. Register today at diabetes.org/Chicago Tour and join the fight for life. Thank you to our sponsors, Monaco Mechanical, Gvoke, Novo Nordisk, Dexcom, Griffith Foods, Meyer, and Nicor Gas for helping in this fight.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
We are at the Midday Midway point of today's Monday program, and with the developing story that happened when we woke up this morning. Well, it started yesterday when the Marlins made the decision to play their game at Philadelphia despite a number of positive tests for COVID-19. And then this morning we find out that at the moment we've got 14 total, including 11 players, are confirmed positive. And it's been hard, and I've been trying to be honest with you about how we're kind of doing this stuff, because I was really looking forward. I woke up, I'm like, all right, we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk about Wilson Contreras' pitch framing and Tyler Chatwood throwing strikes and Chris Bryant's struggles and injuries to Reynaldo Lopez and Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert's first home run and Lucas Giolito having trouble finding the plate. And but then this happened, and it makes it feel weird because we got to operate on concurrent channels here. One, yeah, we have baseball. We're talking baseball. It just feels more tenuous than ever because of the two games that have been canceled. If you're just tuning in, the Marlins cannot travel back to Miami for their home opener against Baltimore. That game has been postponed, and the Yankees obviously don't want to go into that visiting clubhouse right now in Philly, so the Yankees game tonight has also been postponed, and I still think it is possible, depending on their tolerance for disease and risk, and everyone's public health risk, it's possible that baseball could shut down, because that's what Rob Manfred said. He said that on July 1st. He said, if we have a team that's decimated, and if it compromises competitive integrity, we have to think very, very hard about what we're doing. That's what he said. I'm taking him at his word. So we discussed that at length, and we also heard from lots of Cubs and lots of White Sox and from the respective managers. And we talked to Hub Arkush about the Jamal Adams big trade from the Jets to Seattle and the fact that the Bears got rid of a couple tight ends. They were able to deal Adam Shaheen for a conditional pick, and they released Ben Broniker, and maybe that's progress in their eyes. I don't know what to make of this, but Virginia and Utah officials have advised residents not to plant unidentified, unsolicited seeds that residents have reported receiving in packets with Chinese text on them. This is from The Hill. The Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services announced Friday it has been notified that several Virginia residents have received unsolicited packages containing seeds that appear to have originated from China. They said neither the number of people who have received the seeds nor the species of plant can yet be confirmed. The types of seeds in the packages are unknown at this time and may be invasive plant species. The packages were sent by mail and have Chinese writing on them. A Fox affiliate in Salt Lake City also reported this week that Utah residents have been receiving unsolicited seed packages with Chinese writing over the past 2 weeks. What? One resident of Tuolumne, Utah, said the writing on a package she received Tuesday was in Chinese, although the label indicated it contained earrings. But instead, it contained seeds. And I opened them up, and it was seeds. Obviously, they're not jewelry. Well, she didn't just fall off a Utah turnip truck. The Utah Department of Agriculture is investigating the instances with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The two agencies urged residents to report when they receive the seeds and not to plant them. What the hell? What kind of disruption is this? And how is American stupidity being weaponized through seeds? I mean, the way this year is going, who knows? This is like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where it becomes like the Pod People or something. I can't even think like what somebody would be trying to disrupt by sending some sort of invasive plant. Are they trying to disrupt U.S. agriculture? And if so, why would you be sending them to Virginia and Utah instead of the breadbasket? I can't even begin to think what this could possibly be. And wouldn't one of these governmental agencies have like an agronomist or a seed expert, somebody who could, an agricultural expert could say, oh yeah, I know what this is, and actually run it through a spectrometer or something and identify it? Is it still that unknown? So I don't know if anybody else has received anything like this, but this is some sort of new soft biological warfare or some innocent but very curious accident. Whatever it is, it's messed up. And if, in fact, there is an issue, the good news is there's a solution. Because this came from the Wisconsin State Journal. In a field on Madison's south side, Wheezy and her twins Willow and Wilbur are hard at work as they nibble haphazardly at the tall grasses surrounding them. The trio is part of Madison Park's latest technique in tackling invasive plants that are harmful to human health and the environment. No herbicide, no tough human labor. It's a crew of 40 goats, all of whom have been hired to tend to Greenside Park, Olin Park, and Acewood Conservatory this summer. And they have a woman in charge of what's called the Prescribed Grazing Program. Her name is Sarah Close. And she said that some of these species have wreaked havoc on Madison's ecosystem. She said, I think even if we had the entire city volunteering for us, it would still be very difficult to eradicate every invasive plant. These other strategies we've used are intensive, and they take a lot of time. The goats do not. They've tried mowing, hand-pulling, prescribed prairie burns, and even chemical pesticides, which they want to eliminate due to toxicity and risk to public health. And apparently this is easy for goats, because due to their four-chambered stomachs, goats can graze easily on plants that are unsafe for humans. And this, I did not know, that one of these invasives is wild parsnip. It can cause burns and blisters on the skin, yet it's present in all of Wisconsin's 72 counties, and for goats, is edible. And she said, goats are browsers. It makes them the perfect livestock for removing unwanted trees and shrubs. It's a never-ending battle for habitat managers, and the goats, this is made for multiple trips, and there are pictures of them all herded on, it's an agency that rents them out. It's goats for hire. They've got a farm with 88 goats, all with unique names and personalities that they can identify them right away, and they rotate between their job on the city's public land and other private gigs. They do repetitive grazing. This sounds like kind of a nice deal for the people who have the goat farm. They bring them out, they eat a bunch, they herd them back up. I mean, I don't know how you get them all back in. Do they just willingly come back in? I don't know about herding goats all that well, but at least if people plant the whatever these seeds are, we're gonna have to follow them up with the goats. The problem is, then what do you have if the goats get out of control? What do you have come in and eat the goats? Because then if we're gonna have invasive goats, then what's next? What would, like, a chupacabra or something, right? We're going to have somebody wrangling a truck full of chupacabra to come in, and then they get out of control, and then we're going to have to nuke the site from orbit, because then we're a screw at that point if that gets out of hand. But I was actually, even here at the North Park Nature Center, I know there was, we were there when there was buckthorn that was taking over, and there were, I don't know, 30 people out there doing nothing but pulling buckthorn out of the nature center in these giant piles, and I was talking to them, and they said they were having trouble keeping up with that. I mean, even though they're paying so much attention to it, just worried that's an invasive that is really damaging because it crowds out native plants there. But they're on it. Send in the goats.
I'm screwed.
Leslie Van Houten has been recommended for parole. A California panel on Thursday recommended that Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten, who took part in the brutal LaBianca killings, will be paroled. Recommended she be paroled after serving nearly five decades in prison. After a hearing at the women's prison in Chino, California, commissioners of the Board of Parole Hearings found for the fourth time that Van Houten, 70, was suitable for release, according to the State Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Rehabilitated. Sonny, you just go on and stamp your forms. After a 120-day review process, her case will again rest with California Governor Gavin Newsom, who could deny parole. Although that move will be challenged in court, or could be challenged in court. Newsom blocked her release once. His predecessor, Jerry Brown, did it twice. Newsom said last year he denied Van Houten's parole after he determined her role in the infamous and vicious Manson family murders overshadowed reports of Van Houten's good behavior and rehabilitation testimonials. And he said, while I commend Ms. Van Houten for her efforts at rehabilitation and acknowledge her youth at the time of the crimes, I'm concerned about her role in these killings and her potential for future violence. She was an eager participant in the killing of the LaBiancas and played a significant role. And I'm mindful, obviously, of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that just came out, and she's not mentioned as a character by name, except that there is a character at the movie ranch named Lulu, and one of her nicknames was Lulu. So it's believed that she was depicted in that movie by the character Lulu. And if you haven't seen the movie, it really is, it's a thing. It's quite a thing. No spoiler alert there, but it is absolutely outstanding. But it was, you hadn't thought about it. And then, of course, you go back, and after you see the movie, you go back because you have to change the fantasy back to reality and sort of re-remember some of these things. And also, you're thinking, well, wait a second, Van Houten, how do I know that name? Yes, indeed, the Simpsons character Milhouse Van Houten was named because he's the middle name of Richard Nixon. It's spelled differently, but it's Richard Milhouse Nixon. And the Van Houtens, in some way, are named that because of Leslie Van Houten. So if that rang a bell on your Simpsons radar, that is absolutely the case indeed. We're going to continue to talk Cubs here because the travel situation and our top story of the day is a fascinating one. The timing of this is so is scary, frankly, that you have half the league now hitting the road for the first time. And knowing that there is not only out-of-control virus in maybe a third of MLB cities right now, but now you have another city in Philadelphia that is affected because the Marlins apparently brought it all there. That they have, there are 14 positive tests. That's the latest that we have, that baseball's finally acknowledged in an official statement. The two games tonight have been postponed due to coronavirus concerns. One out of caution in Philadelphia, where the Yankees would have to go inhabit a visitor's clubhouse, which is where it apparently has been spreading. And I mentioned that today and the next day, we're going to find out about likely more positive tests elsewhere. And the question about if, in fact, the Phillies got infected through playing against an opponent is going to be a critical, critical moment. This would be an inflection point and would get us close to no baseball if, in fact, there was transfer between teams over the course of actually playing the games. Whether or not it occurred on the field, or whether or not it occurred from behind the scenes of maybe people in shared areas bringing it from place to place, where there wasn't just one team breathing on each other, if it is possible that it can be spread through the course of the game, that is going to matter, and we're going to watch that very, very closely. Russ Dorsey covers the Cubs for the Sun-Times. We're going to get his thoughts. He's great. You want to hear him. So keep it here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
White Sox GM Rick Hahn.
Do you want to risk the chance that the player is precisely who you think he is? Or would you rather take the other risk that perhaps you miss on one of these guys by committing to them guaranteed contract too early? We've tried to err on the side of taking the risk of potentially being wrong.
Lawrence Holmes noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
This is the sound of a Blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a Blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
Ryan's done a really good job at the communication part with myself and really kind of now that we're going into our third year of trying to figure out, okay, where are we at? What do we need? How can we get better? And then once, you know, you get into that process, you start having, obviously, you're dealing with all different types of players. I think the word trust doesn't get used enough. And so when you have that trust for all these players, you understand not only what you're getting as that player, but as the person, too, that's helping build this culture that we've built in the last 2 years. Now, we've had from 2018 to go 12-4 to win the NFC North, and then to go to last year where there was more of a struggle, but we never wavered. Our guys stuck together. Is that good enough? No.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM traffic and weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Russ Dorsey covers baseball for MLB.com.
We talk about Sammy Sosa now. That dude was on top of the world. That was the king of the Dominican. And even he had to succumb to that pressure of, is Dark beautiful? And as we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, the answer to that was no to him. And it's just like, you have to consider what deeply rooted things and issues have been a big part of Dominican culture that Sammy grew up with.
Yeah, and that's why when you see, I think he had at some point even admitted to doing some skin lightening. He is by no means alone. And by the way, this isn't something that just happens in Caribbean countries. This is something that's happening in Asia as well, where
right.
everyone is trying to get lighter.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
Summer is here, and sometimes so are some.